I mean LD or any sort of literacy issues as opposed to accessibility as in finding them, which, you know, they're in libraries, bookstores, that's where they are, mystery solved. But what I'm really interested in is comic books and the graphic novel and the visual narrative as a key to unlocking literacy. I drew all these pictures, so I'm really going to be like coming back to the slide. I actually drew the blue shirt completely by accident. I put this blue puppy on unintentionally. Anywho, who is this person? It's me. My name's Tori Wolcott. I have a BA in archaeology and Near Middle Eastern Studies from U of T. I worked in Jordan and at the ROM for a number of years, and then I wrote a graphic novel and transitioned into cartooning, and now I'm mostly a cartoonist and an advocate for LD and dyslexia awareness and all that jazz. I myself have dyslexia, and that's the crux of what my book is about. I was planning to do a reading from my book. So when I was putting my slideshow together and I was picking which pages of the book to read, I went in the direction of sad because I was in kind of an upset mood when I did it. So the direction that this particular reading is going to go in is a little bit more dark than the entirety of the book. Has anybody ever read my book? Has anybody read it before? Okay, it's not that dark, right? I've taken like the four dark pages and put it in. So just the rest of you guys, seriously, I swear, it's like, show of hands, how dark is it? It's not that dark, right? No, it's fine. Okay, this warning, spoilers. Both my parents are carriers of an unusual gene. Neither of them are affected by it, though, because it's recessive. But when they got together, me, showed up. It took a little while for me to learn to walk, but I started talking early. I seemed fine. I could speak well, and I had large vocabulary for my age, so my parents decided to put me in French immersion. At first, French was easy. Everyone learned fast. We were at that age where language was simple. I was just like everyone. Most important to a respectable social life is a stick rattle, and I still have mine. I had friends, I wasn't picked on more than anyone else. I could speak French and English as well as anyone. I was just another kid. Except I couldn't read. Nobody knew. Where other kids would see this, I would see this. Or at best, this. Life went on, but it was getting harder and harder to fake it. What was I supposed to do? What did they know that I didn't? Spell key, spell cat. Victoria, this will not do. These drawings are nice, but they're not spelling. Sorry. It's fine, but no jokes next time. I just kept on playing and being normal. Really, what else could I do? What had once been a secret something, a quiet little something, a something I could control, now it was real. Now it had a name. And it stopped being little. They would hit their chest with their hands. Bah, retard, you're retarded. Kids who had been my friends the day before. I didn't know what retarded meant, and I certainly had no idea why they were hitting their chests. You suck. Sometimes I would try to stand up for myself, but that would end badly. Everyone who had been my friends hated me now. Don't touch her. Don't touch her blood. You'll get it too. There was a kid named Mike in my class. He had lots of trouble moving. When he got excited, he would hit his chest. He would look up until the whites of his eyes showed. He smelled funny, and I was scared of him. I didn't want him to touch me. All I could think of when I saw him was, this is retarded. This is what I am. We are the same. Miss Hartsmith always got frustrated easily, but as time went on, she became cool. He was so shocked. He didn't move or cry. He just looked at her. She started to cry and left the room. She didn't come back at all that day. Mike would get upset if we tried to touch him, so we just sat beside him. He had his arm over his head and hitting his chest, and the other one holding his head and rocking back and forth until it was time to go. Mike wouldn't hug his mom when he got home. This upset me a lot. I made a decision then that has followed me for the rest of make my mom sad because of what happened to me at school or with my friends or anything. I would never tell. And I never did. This book is the first she ever heard of it. I became a secret keeper, and I think I will always be like this. My parents were surprised I was getting worse, so they decided to find out exactly what was wrong with me. So they found an expert. I was scared. I hoped my parents didn't really know how bad it was at school. I tried to be perfect at home, but if this assessment went badly, my family would know. This was the first time I met Pearl Levy, and the assessment, short of being the lobotomy that I was expecting, was fun. We played with games and puzzles. She showed me cards with letters. What order do these go in? Good. Pearl sent me to a tutor named Eve. I saw her every Saturday morning until I was in OAC. Grade 13, called you Oriana. Eve started from square one with me, but she didn't stop or get mad. Saturday mornings became the day I could be smart. I could learn. She never yelled at me, not once. She showed me why I had trouble. There was a new school with a new teacher. She understood dyslexia. She was patient. But she wasn't a pushover either, who would let me get away with anything. She and Eve showed me how to read. They gave me the tools and strategies to do so. I felt like I had discovered myself. I felt new. I guess I felt like a person all of a sudden. Now I had a connection with all these writers, people who left shapes behind just for me. I changed my name in grade 6. Vicky was a word hung on me by a bitter woman. Victoria was a scared little girl who couldn't read. Victoria is my name. Victoria is who I am. As I say, that was kind of like the darkest parts in the graphic novel. I swear there are funny parts too. But something that I kind of want to point out is, how many of you guys were reading along with me as I was going? Okay. Did you notice that I was not reading it perfectly? I'm having a really bad day today as far as reading goes. That was all by memory. I know I messed it up a few times, like I was trying to go along, but I have a lot of trouble with that. I have a lot of trouble with reading, and if I, for example, was up till 3 in the morning arguing with people about feminism on the internet, which I was, it's good. We should all have it. It makes it really, really hard for me to read, and that's something that I feel like comics can balance out for me, because, yeah, I'm having a lot of trouble reading today, but I still really want to go home and read a book before I go to bed tonight, right? Well, I'm just going to read a wordless book tonight, and then I get the best of both worlds. And that's really what I want to talk to you about today, and just about literacy in general and how comics allow us to access it, no matter who we are, no matter how we read. And I think most of us here are either educators or librarians. Right, librarians? Teachers? Teacher librarians? I love you guys. You guys are the worst. I mean the best. Best of both worlds, right? I guess my personal perspective on literacy is a little bit different than necessarily the norm. I really was tempted about putting, you know, the definition of literacy up there, but I was like, that would be the kiss of death in my presentation, so I won't. I know, right? I looked it up and everything. I was like, I could put it in the slide, I could figure something out. But instead, I want to talk about it. Literacy, according to Wikipedia, is the ability to read and write your name, which I thought was really incorrect, but I know a lot of people could read and write their own name but are not literate in the sense that I think we all intend. And I believe that the general consensus of what literacy is the ability to read the written word, right? That's the general idea. But that isn't really what concerns me personally. I think that now, in the day that we are living, the written word is a wonderful, magical, meaningful thing. But there are people like me who can't always access it. But that doesn't mean I'm illiterate. Does that make sense? Am I flowing? There's a very specific joy that you get when your eyes flow over text, and all of a sudden you fall away and you are somewhere else in a book. There is a very specific light that fills you up and lets you fall into this other place no matter what the heck you're reading. I have read the worst journal articles. As I say, I did archaeology. I just read, like, journal articles about stratigraphy. Anybody ever read about stratigraphy? It's the worst. Never read about it. But it's still a joy to just be sucked somewhere else, to just vanish and to feel yourself disappear. That joy, which maybe sounds very nihilistic, but that joy is something that even kids who have severe learning disabilities, severe things that prevent them from reading, still deserve to feel and still deserve to experience. And you can experience that through comic books. I'll admit I drew this today. I really think that the point... Her photo, by the way. I believe very strongly, very passionately, that the point of literacy is comprehension. There's the entire reason why literacy is so important is understanding what you're reading. And a lot of people, I think most people, can read any number of things, but it doesn't mean you necessarily understand it. And I think all of us here, I don't think you need to have a learning disability or any sort of literacy issue, has read things and not understood them. Right? It happens. But that's frustrating. And to live your life as I did not read a single word until I was in grade 6. I was completely illiterate. I couldn't tell my letters apart. I couldn't read at all until I was in grade 6. Now, about 3 of you, I saw that. It's okay. It's alright. But I loved stories. And my dad would read Nancy Drew books to me. Like, you know, the old school ones where it's like Nancy Drew was like super concerned about her pantyhose. It's still awesome. He would read these to me every night, and I would get really irate if he missed any. And God forbid he had a cold, because, like, no, thank you. But my parents were very, very firmly against comics when I was growing up, because they didn't believe that I was reading correctly. And they thought that this meant that I was reading wrong, which I always think is great. Is that a thing that you could do? I don't think I've met a librarian who believes, and I certainly doubt that any of you guys here at this conference believe that that is an incorrect way of reading. If you do believe that, you are at the wrong conference today. Sorry, it's simple. So my main issue, and the main thing that I think that comics can give to people, is an accessibility to to make literacy accessible to people like me who have a lot of trouble with reading. So obviously the first tier of accessible comics would be your wordless comics. And I would be surprised if you guys haven't heard about these comics, these specific ones before. Owlie is a very early, like, okay, everybody has heard of Owlie, right? I think Andy Redman was here today. Sorry, I just got here. He's awesome. If you ever get to meet him, he is the cutest person ever.
He loves his mom.
He does love his mom. And he proposed to his now wife in a TARDIS. You know, like a little TARDIS? Oh, you're all nerds. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? I'm looking at you. Okay, I wanted to nod. But he made like a little TARDIS. And, anyway, I love him to pieces. But Owlie is completely wordless. Tale of Sand is for a slightly older demographic. There is some naked bits in it. Nothing exciting, but, you know, it's there. there are nipples. I personally love the belief that we all have those, and they're not particularly exciting, but maybe I'm biased. But it is a really, really good book, and again, it is 90% wordless. And then the other one is my personal favorite, Ojingogo. Has everybody had the chance to see this one? This one is... So this is an example of Owlie, for anybody who doesn't know about it. The thing I've got pictures of Ojingogo, we'll talk about that in a second. What I love about Owlie is the emotional complexity of it. I have run a few sessions with kids who have emotional problems or behavioral issues, and I found that Owlie is a really, really good way to talk about those feelings. It's also black and white, so it lends itself really, really well to photocopying. And I found that an exercise that I do that has worked particularly well with kids who do have any sort of emotional problem, I hate saying that, sounds incorrect, but is to photocopy it within the legal rounds of photocopying things, And he also has a ton of these things that you can just print out off of the internet. I then cut all the squares out and hand them to my student and say, put them in the order. Figure out the order that this works in. And that lends to two things. What's happening? What order? But also, there are different orders that it can go in, and it will still make sense, right? But especially with regard to emotional literacy, it works really, really, really well. It's one of my absolute favorite comics. I think you guys all got little packages, right? I think some of you might have gotten it, didn't I? But anyway, I highly recommend Aoi for that. Tale of Sand. Jim Henson wrote this, and then Ramon Perez illustrated it from Canada. This one I really recommend for a slightly older, obviously, the aforementioned nipple situation. What happens to every single kid who has ever been labeled as really anything? Labeling, isn't it great? Is you think you're dumb. You think you're a reject. You think you're subpower. You don't think you understand things the way other people understand things. You think you are doing everything wrong. This comic has no words in it, just a series of pictures, and anyone can interpret what's happening in their own way. And any kid who's special can approach this and give you their own ideas of what's happening. If you give this to a kid who is in, like, God forbid, grade 9, because there will be giggling, they can then communicate what's happening in the story to you. They will comprehend it without having to struggle through the text. And also, it gives them an opportunity to be smart, to be clever, to interpret something and to give it to you. Sorry, I did a presentation this morning, and my presentation were for kids between grade 6 to grade 8. So every time I said something, I got a round of applause. So I keep sort of waiting for you guys to, like, okay, now? And I had kids coming up and doing dances and stuff, and I was just like, okay, who's going to do a dance? And so I'm just kind of like, I'm waiting for somebody to go, can I dance? And sort of like, I'm on the wrong speed. So this is one of my favorite images from Ojingogo. Ojingogo has no words in it that any of us can understand. It has sort of a Korean-esque nonsense language. I say Korean-esque because it sort of like looks like somebody's making fun of Korean, right? Yeah. He was in Korea and he just sort of made up this nonsense language. The birds speak it. The main character, who's this adorable little girl with these little tiny booties, it's very adorable, goes through this world and has this adventure. But it is full of just complete segues and left turns, and all of a sudden she'll be eaten by an octopus in another world. Or she'll fall down a hole and she'll fall out in the sky. Something crazy will happen. There are these random guys bringing you bowls of soup, and if you eat the bowl of soup, you become giant. It's very, very weird and stream of consciousness and mental. And if you give this to somebody who's struggling, somebody who doesn't realize their own potential, and just have a conversation with them about it, it lets them, and I hate to keep coming back to this same idea, comprehend. They're able to understand something and come to it on their own, and they're able to talk to you about the value of that thing. Everybody following me? Okay. So next thing I want to talk to you guys about really quickly is adaptations. And anybody get to go to Scott Robbins' talk a minute ago? He's awesome. He's the best. And I think he talked about this too. So there are a couple of reasons why I think these particular comics are so important. First, they're popular. And that's a big deal, right? Any kid who's having trouble reading, the biggest hurdle that you're ever going to come across is they will not admit that they're having trouble reading. If they come up to you and say, hey, dude, this is a thing I can't do, well, then we can fix that, right? Okay, here's Kurzweil. Here are all these programs. Here are audiobooks. Here's a tutor. We can figure that out. If the kid is willing to talk to you about it, the solutions will present themselves. No kid in the history of time is willing to talk to you about it. There was one. His name was Bob. He got lynched. Like, it does not, this is not a normal kid behavior. The normal kid behavior is to be want to be one of the group, to want to be exactly like everyone else. Maybe to be an individual within their group, right? Like, everybody else is wearing black, like, the, you know, the uniform right now, which is like the skin-tight black pants and the UGG boots and the baggy t-shirt? Well, everybody else is wearing the matte-colored black pants. I'm going to wear shiny black pants. But it's the same theory, right? All your friends are reading Twilight. I would never have been able to read Twilight. Not for the life of me. I could read it now if I wouldn't, but I could. But if, when I was in grade 7 or 8, get out of town. I could never possibly finish that book. Not in a million years. But all my friends would have been reading it. What am I going to do? I'm certainly not going to tell anybody I need the audiobook. I'm certainly not going to work around that. Am I going to wait for the movie and have all my friends make fun of me? Am I going to lie? I lied a lot. That was what I did mostly. Or I read the graphic novel. All of a sudden, I can have a conversation with my friends. All of a sudden, I can read the next book. All of a sudden, I'm engaged. And when somebody says, oh, well, have you read the other Stephanie Meyer's book? I don't remember the name of it off the top of my head. I can say, no, but I read that other graphic novel by the artist, Kim, who did a bunch more, and they did this, this, and this. And now you're involved and you're having a conversation. You are an active member of that discussion, and you are comprehending what's happening. Again, we're not going to talk about how well this is drawn or any of my personal opinion on this particular book, but The Lightning Thief, on the other hand, which, has everybody gotten to read that one? Anybody? Okay. I personally love it because the main character is dyslexic, so I'm a little bit partial to it, even though it turns out he's not actually dyslexic, he's reading Latin or whatever. But I liked it a lot when I thought he was dyslexic. This is a wonderful adaptation. It really takes hold of the idea of the original story and moves it into a graphic novel. It's really, the illustration style is really fun. It's really, like, the colors are really alive. It's a great, great book. But again, my point comes back to, the kid can read it, the kid can understand what's happening, the kid can interpret it, can have a conversation about it, and can hand in a book report about it. And then I've got my little tongue sticking out educational books. Comics are as valuable and integral a form of literature as any other form of literature, in my humble opinion. It's not that humble. I believe that the graphic novel deserves to be held up in the same light and the same acclaim as any other type of book. And these are three educational books that I think really have stood out to me. Kill Shakespeare. Show of hands again. Anybody read this one yet? Because it's a hoot. It's a hoot and a half. It's very strange. Again, this is a definitely more of a high school level book as opposed to... Give me an age range on this one, Andrew.
It's high school. It's not big Shakespeare and cake and have happy times. It's like try and kill him in a funny way that
is
boring.
It is awesome. It is hilarious. I recommended it to one of my great... So I teach kids in high school how to use their SIA computers. And so I had this one kid who had to read Romeo and Juliet. And he was having none of it. So I showed him LibriVox, you know, the website, some nods. LibriVox is a wonderful website, which I will talk to you about afterwards if you want to ask me about it. So I showed him this, and he got the audiobook and all this stuff, or the audio play of it. And I was just like, this kid, you know, did you guys know the I don't know ones? The I don't know, like, every question? What's your middle name? The worst. So I checked in his library, and he had it. And the library had it, and I said, take out this book. Well, he is all about Shakespeare now. Like hardcore. He's all on LibriVox. LibriVox is a online audiobook website where people record out of copyright books, so Shakespeare or any of the Edgar Rice Burroughs books. Princess of Mars, anybody? It's terrible. Anyway. So there is a troupe of actors who read all the Shakespeare plays, and so he has now listened to Hamlet, listened to all these things, and he loves Kill Shakespeare. possibly because there's a little bit of cleavage, but it is fantastic, and you guys should all read it. The Olympian series is comic book adaptations of Greek myths. It is incredibly actually accurate to the original myths, which is fun and really exciting. And the kids who are reading it are getting really interested. They become mythology nerds, which I love. They're all like, I had one kid come in and I made that mistake of saying Jupiter instead of Zeus, right? What was that? Persephone instead of Minerva or something? And I got told, like, well, actually. And No Girls Allowed, as I was, like, this one I popped in mostly because of that 3 in the morning feminist argument I was telling you about earlier. No Girls Allowed is a actually hilarious, awesome, really fun book about women who had to pretend to be men to achieve whatever it is that they wanted to achieve. So there's Mulan is in it, Hatshepsut's in it, Mulan's the cover, a Viking pirate chick. This is kind of hardcore. It's a really fun, wonderful book that allows you to access history. And again, this always comes back to my point of comprehension. Comprehension. This is what these books allow and what these books give to people. From No Girls Allowed, you can then go from there. Now you understand what people are talking about and you can go from there. The Olympians, you understand what's being said to you, you can move on to the next step. Like, well, Shakespeare, you know how the little tongue sticking out face at the top up there, that little happy face? That's really for the Kill Shakespeare. But I swear to God, it's a ton of fun to read if you have the opportunity. So I guess where to now is my sort of question time thing. I had this little rant planned about comprehension. And literacy is important. And just that there's more than one way to read. There's more than one way to access that thing. And I've had conversations with a lot of librarians and teachers and educators and parents who really believe that graphic novels and comic books and manga are teaching kids to read incorrectly. They're going to read wrong. They're not reading correctly. They're not getting it. They're not reading right. What's the goal of reading? What's the point? Why are we reading? It's not like we evolved on the plains of Africa to read. Why? Why do we want people to read? And I think if you ask any educator or any teacher, the main thing when you get down to what they want is they want this kid, they want this child to get that same joy that you get when you read a book. You want to make sure that this kid will understand and feel that incredible feeling that you get. And as one of these kids who you're screaming and shaking and wanting to get to understand it, we do get that feeling. We do get that feeling. We really, really do. We just get it in a slightly different way. That's my point. So, yeah, questions? Dance. I had a kid do like the like and disco stuff. It was great. Anyway, yes.
Just 25 to 30 years ago, I was teaching high school English and found Shakespeare in graphic novel form. So I have Twelfth Night. I have Romeo and Juliet. I have Macbeth. And at that time, nobody was doing much with graphic novel. And my department head said to me, "You can't use that. It's not real." It was exact word for word the text. And the kids were actually able to understand it with the pictures to go with it. But
my parents are awesome. They're really, really great, and I love them to pieces. They actually took all my comics. You know how you think you're the first kid ever to hide things under your bed? You know, like, nobody has ever thought of hiding stuff under the bed before. They found my stash, my secret stash, and they threw them out. And admittedly, there was some Red Sonja in them, and my mom had some issues with, like, that bikini issue, where she was like, she still has this rant of, "It doesn't work! Like, you're gonna get cut! But, like, wear real armor!" She does not. She doesn't get it. It being, I don't get it either. But there are these people who just have trouble understanding that there are other perspectives than their own, and it can really. I was at OLA 3 years ago.
Oh, more than that, 2009? 3 years ago.
3 years ago. Anyway, and I was doing a signing, and also, side note, librarians have sticky fingers, okay? Like, 4 copies of my book were stolen. You people need to deal with that. Anywho, so I'm sitting, and like, I caught one girl, and she was like taking it, walking away, and it's like she moved the sign that said $10 away. She took the book, put the sign back, which I thought was kind of nice. Anyway, I'm there, I'm doing my signing, and there's a lady sort of standing to the back, and, you know, we're talking, and I'm talking to somebody else, and this lady goes, and I said, oh, you know, I just feel like it's a really exciting time, like, the idea and the concept of literacy is changing, it's opening up for people like me, for people who just understand things differently. And she goes, yeah, if you want them to do it wrong, and she flipped my book. I got this little, like, I'm kind of OCD sometimes, I have my books, like, you know, right? She flipped it, so they became askew. Sorry, I know that that's probably not the point of the thing, but it really, like, irked me, and she just, like, flipped them and walked off, and I was just like... And you know when you have no words, and all you can do is, like, go like this to people, and, like, the lady who I was talking to was going like this, too, and you're sort of, like, just having this moment of, like, what's going on? So that was exciting. There will be people who it's hard to communicate with about this, and if you want to talk to people about it, I've just found that the only argument that really works with people who have made the decision that they know what lit reading is, and that, you know, they get it, and you don't get it, but they get it, is just to say different people understand things differently. And that's really the only argument that ever works.
What I'm interested in particularly is, I'm teaching a grade 10 class right now with a very, very low reading level, generally, and what's really important when you choose things for them is not choosing materials that are necessarily in subject matter, kind of childish. So I was wondering if you had recommendations for maybe older kids in body, chronologically
yes.
older kids,
yes.
but maybe not reading at a 15-year-old level.
I feel like that calls back to the issues of comprehension, where there's absolutely nothing wrong with their comprehension,
no.
right? Like, they're perfectly able to sit down and
no, but you wouldn't give them Owlies. That's insulting.
It's insulting, exactly, so I couldn't agree more. But if you give them a book, I would say, for example, like, Tale of Sand, right?
Right.
Where,
Nipples and all.
Pardon?
Nipples and all.
Nipples and all. They'll love it. You give them a book like Tales of Sand, there are a lot of wordless French language books. So it's great because they're in the French language section, but there are no words, which is a ton of fun. But there are a lot of French language books that are completely wordless and work in that direction. I would recommend books like Persepolis, where it's very, very, very high concept. But again, it's translated from the French, so what was actually a quite advanced book in French is a more realistic book in English, just because whenever you translate, it tends to translate down, right? You guys know what I'm talking about. Another one that I think would... Sorry, I'm scanning through for nudity and going through my internal Rolodex. I would really go towards manga. I would say... Svetlana was here, right? I saw
yes.
Svetlana. She's awesome.
Yes, she is.
She did a series called Night School. Mm-hmm. Anybody? Awesome! Yeah. Right?
Canine age, right?
Except they're on the table.
Mm-hmm. Like night.
Night school.
No, like night
in the evening. In
okay.
the evening time.
I'm so sorry.
It's spelled,
I just
spelled
can't
well.
You with that. I was like, how do you spell that? Sorry.
No, one thing that it, like, forever drives me insane is this apparently this talk is just going to be complaining, but one thing that drives me absolutely nuts is when I ask somebody how to spell something and they sound it out to me.
Yeah.
Oh, sounding! I never thought of that! Oh, you show me what sounding out is. I'm fixed. Okay, that's fine. So I would recommend so many. Like, so many. There are so many, especially European books, that
work really, really well. And
yeah. I was going to say, of course, the nudity of life with it, you know, for Ted, but Jason's work is fantastic.
Just
with very minimal words.
You know what I would really recommend? Superman. You hear this one? Superman Red Sun?
What?
Superman Red Sun?
Yeah.
Anybody read this one? Superman
yeah.
Red Sun? My nerd section. Ah, you're on there too. But Superman Red Sun is about what if Superman was born in Soviet Russia, or landed in Soviet Russia, instead of in, you know, the wholesome the States, and how everything worked out great because he was there. It is a wonderful way to explain the Cold War and to get kids interested in global politics and what's going on with that stuff in a superhero context. I think the value of that book has been underplayed because there are superheroes in it, but that book will just blow your mind. Another really fun one, here's my thing. When you're working with kids who have special needs, and you're working with kids, and I hate going, special needs, but kids who are broken now, you have kids who are raised not even to their face being called dumb, but you have kids who aren't behaving or understanding the same way that every other kid in the classroom is. No teacher is going up, well, some teachers are, but very few teachers are going up to them going, hey, how's being an idiot working out for you? It's great, thanks for asking. That's not how it's going. But what's happening is all the other kids are raising their hand, and you're not. All the other kids are reading out from the book, and you make a fart joke and run away. You feel dumb. You constantly feel dumb. And one excellent way to work around that, because that's the thing that's going to haunt these kids for the rest of their lives. I'm still not, as you noticed, I'm not a super great reader. I love reading. I'm not super great at it. I'm okay. I'm fine. I get audiobooks. I read comics. Anything, I have Kurzweil. I'm fine. You have these kids. These kids are convinced that they are stupid. What can we do to correct them from that belief? Because if a kid is stupid, I'm sure you've noticed there are some. It happens. That's one thing. To have a kid who has a low IQ, low IQs happen. In my opinion, the IQ test system is ridiculous. I have a really high IQ. Okay, thanks. That's great. who cares? What does that mean? It's the most arbitrary test ever. Okay. You know why I have a really high IQ? I knew who Gandhi was when I was a kid. I watched the movie, and that was half the test. It's the most arbitrary, ridiculous thing, and I could put a puzzle thing together. Anyway, IQ tests are one thing, and we will have kids who have low comprehension because they have low comprehension. And that's just who they are. It takes all sorts. That's fine. You're also going to have kids who are gifted, who are just these kids who just blow your mind and are kind of weird and, super smart and, they're going to build the next hydron collector or whatever. Those kids, they're awesome, too. They're going to have their own set of problems. The kids I'm talking about right now are the average to above average LD kids, the kids who are not dumb. Not necessarily gifted, but not dumb. Who are convinced that they're low and that they can't function. What I'm interested in is getting them to understand what they are actually capable of, which is actually anything. It's anything. So you're not super great at answering a question right away, or you're not super great at spelling something. Hi, we have smartphones now. Right? Okay, I can't tell you what BEDMET stands for. Give me 2 seconds. It doesn't matter. I think the institution of education, the point of literacy is changing. We're not trying to teach people how to memorize things anymore. We're trying to teach them how to understand and how to interpret information and how to learn, right? Because we don't need to memorize anymore. That's not the point. Sorry, that went wildly off track.
I was like, what commas can I teach?
I could... How much time do you have? I've got a million.
I can email you.
Yeah, email me. I'll send you a huge list. Anybody who wants an actual list of graphic, I can break down any graphic novels into. I have a rule of 5 for my age range stuff. What's the age ranges? Are you high school people? Okay, so public libraries. Okay, hi. grade school? Okay, cool. And like high school, I already asked. Okay. Universities? Awesome. Okay. I just felt like colleges. Same thing. So I have this thing called the rule of five, which is how... Oh, Anya's ghost. My rule of five is, or my five-finger rule, is how I determine the age appropriateness of a book. And what I try to do is just sort of say, is there any language? Are there swears? Right? I just don't think that if you're in a school, you have to like think for that. If you're in a library, I think you can be a little bit more delicate. Parents aren't going to yell at you as much as they do in schools. Sorry, guys, that does happen. So language issues, then equality issues. If there's any girls behave this way, boys behave this way. Have you guys read What's Her Name Got Her Sword?
I just taught it.
I did
a whole unit on it.
What's her name?
Hal Murka Got Her Sword.
Hal Murka Got Her Sword. That one hits one of my marks quite heavily because it is saying this is how women are supposed to behave. Right? And the end result of the story is having to behave this way because you're a woman is okay because it'll all end up all right. I'm not saying it's a bad book, but that does hit one of my points.
I would have a long conversation with you about it.
No, I'm not saying it's a bad book. I love the book. I own it. It's an amazing book, but it still hits that point where you are within this cultural paradigm, do you guys know the book I'm talking about? Who does not know what I'm talking about? There we go, okay. Hal Murka Got Her Sword is a story about a Hasidic Jewish girl who is tired of the confines that are being placed on her within this group she's in. She's in a very close community, and girls have to wear this type of outfit, and girls have to behave this way, girls have to learn how to knit, girls have to do these things, right? And what I love about the book is it does give you a perspective into a culture that I think a lot of us don't get to look at every day and don't understand or live in. She becomes very frustrated and wants to fight ogres and dwarves and all this stuff, and eventually gets this sword and has this adventure. Is that the book?
This one's How Murka Met Meteor, right?
Yeah. Yes, that's the new one. I haven't read that one yet. It's awesome. It's a lot of fun. But the reason why that one ticks off one of my points is because this, and I don't want to give it away because it is really, really good, so you guys can say, no spoilers, but here's the spoilers. She solves the situation by using the things that were making her frustrated. The confines that were holding her are the things that let her solve the problem. Right? I'm not going to give away what the problem are or what the thing is there. It's not totally spoiled. But I don't want to be forced to wear this dress anymore. I don't want to be forced to not be able to do what I want to do. No, it's okay. If you're forced to do what you want to do, you're going to solve the problem. I love the book, and I love knitting, and I love all that stuff. But
it is a capacity for rational thought to get rid of that situation.
It is definitely that, too. It's just, it hits that point for me in my finger counting. Different example of book in my head. The next thing would be vices. So drinking, smoking, just vices generally, drinking, smoking, that kind of thing. If that is in the book at all, period. If the bad kids are doing it, if the cool kids are doing it, if the main character is doing it, if it hits the book at all, that's another point that I hit. So Anya's ghost would be an example where the main character smokes. Now I can't remember my other points. I got totally so hyper focused Mika sword. So equality, language. Help me. What was the last one I just said?
Vices.
Thank you. Then violence. Any sort of violence. And I am not a fan of violence. I am not a fan of guns. I don't like seeing a gun in a book. If you show me a gun in a book for kids or anything, because they always seem to be cool. You know, it's like, oh, they pulled out a gun, now the problem's solved. It freaks me out. So maybe that's just me, but that always hits a tick for me. And I bump it up in age range, right? And the last thing was unresolved conflict. So if a conflict happens, and that conflict, so two characters argue, and it does not come to a point. So it's just one person gets picked on, and that person does not find a way to solve that problem. I find that to me, well, defend that to me. And if you can't defend that to me, then I give it a point. Does that make sense? So for each tick, so if it has none of these things, it's all ages. Everybody can read it. Does it make sense? If it has one of these ticks, I bump it up. If it has two of these ticks, it goes on. One example of a book that has absolutely every single one of these ticks would be Anya's Ghost. Has everybody read Anya's Ghost? Okay. When you get Anya's Ghost, who hasn't? Okay. Eye contact. Get this book. Have you read Coraline?
No, but I know about it.
Neil Gaiman, like the movie and everything? It's like Coraline, but badasser. Right? Right? Who's read this book? Right? Sorry, it's like my favorite. When you get it, you're going to be tempted to flip through it. Don't flip. It's good. Don't flip. Anyway, Anya's Ghost hits almost all these points, and I still love and recommend it. Younger than I would normally, I recommend it for grade 7 and 8 and up, because everything is resolved really nicely, and that's like my final point. The point I'm making, the reason why I brought this up, sidetracked as I may have gotten, is for kids who have an LD, I throw my five-finger rule out the window. If you have an LD, if you are average to above average IQ, struggling reader, I will give you any book within reason, even if they hit any number of my five fingers, because I want you to read something and comprehend it and be able to talk to me about it. And that is my higher priority than trying to shepherd your brain or whatever. So that's my last point. I'm sorry I got so sidetracked with that one, because I really do. I'm sounding like I don't love that book. I love Mika's Story. It hits one of my points. That's why I can love it. I nearly wrote a blog post about it, because I was like, oh. Anyway, are there any other questions? Because that was really cold sacking. Okay. I think that's pretty much it. Then, thank you so much for your patience. I'm sorry I was so hyped up.